Amateuring episode 23.
Welcome. You're listening to a podcast.
Hey guys, we're three people. Magic.
We play magic. And if this is your first time listening, then you don't know that my name is Ben, but my name is Ben. And now you do know that.
My name is Megan.
My name's Maria. Now you know all three of our names. Magic.
What? Magic.
We are amateurs at the game of magic. Maria and Megan are quite new. I taught them how to play, and they became quickly addicted. And now...
Quick dick.
And now I'm trying to give them all the information they need to continue playing magic without ruining their lives.
Magic!
Magic. Megan, is your life ruined so far?
Do you know what? Not yet.
She's working on it.
Yeah. I'm working on it.
She's trying to find a laptop so she can play magic online.
Mm-hmm. And then...
then I predict...
havoc shall be wrecked. Magic!
I got it on, and it just was all downhill from there.
Yep. Yeah.
You guys, Maria used to have a real, real big shot job.
She used to own a pony.
That's right.
And it ran away.
Did it run away or did she sell it?
I ate it. You guys, eat my own pony.
She ate it because someone told her there were tickets inside, like a piñata.
But first, I chopped off its head and put it in my own bed.
But it was just devalued packs of M13.
No! They were devalued because they had been inside of a pony.
Correct.
Right, yeah.
On today's show, we're going to talk about changes. You might have experienced these when you were 13. Or for some girls, 10 or 11.
Wow.
All that red meat. For some guys, 14 or 15.
Right. You know what?
For some Bens,
30. You guys, I undergo changes all the time.
I change my phase. I mean, sometimes I'm a solid, but sometimes I'm a liquid or a gas.
But anyway, we pubes.
Right, we're going to talk about changes, legendary rule change that just happened, that just came down. Changes we've been going through as players since we started learning last October. Also, create a card and our card of the week.
Did you already say we're going to talk about the rule changes?
I sure did.
Oh,
I
rules
was
changes.
Spaced out for a second. I was looking at this pen.
I didn't hear her either, so I think, you know what? It's like she didn't say it.
Do you know what? Let's say she didn't.
You guys, this is an appropriate episode for changes because we're in Ben's new apartment.
That's true. I live here now and it's brand new.
You guys, it's real nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's real nice.
Mm-hmm.
Changes.
I really want to assemble that bookshelf.
It's very different. It's very different than my old place.
That bookshelf is calling my name.
Every time I say changes or anybody says changes, I want a little 80s chord to play.
Yes.
I should really have my guitar out.
Yeah. What guitar? Is it good different from your old place?
Yeah.
Nice. You like it?
I do.
Ben is reaping the benefits of changes.
The benefits?
The benefits.
That's not Prince Place already. You guys, this is a really romantic episode because we have a single candle lit on the table in front of us.
It's scented of pear.
It might be more romantic if we turned off all of the overhead lights that are on.
Let's do it.
A lot of them.
Let's do it.
Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Oh, ooh. That is so romantic.
You guys look a lot more attractive.
Talk about changes.
And now we can do shadow puppets.
For the noobs.
Yay! For the noobs. So one of our rules changes regards legendary creatures.
Legendary creatures. Magic.
So this is the first time
changes
that you guys will be dealing with rules changes.
That's You're right. Yeah.
This is not, you've only been playing for 6 months.
Yeah.
So you haven't
been any yet.
You haven't had to learn to adjust and deal with this.
So does this happen? How often does this happen?
Well, the last time this happened was with the release of M10. And that was the last significant rules change that I'm aware of. And that rules change was actually a pretty major overhaul. And they changed, the biggest thing they changed was how the combat step works. So instead of using instead of damage using the stack, now you have to order blockers, and then damage all happens, is assigned and happens instantaneously. So before, you could like assign the damage, and then after damage was assigned, you could be like, okay, this thing is about to take lethal damage, but I'm gonna giant growth it.
What?
Right. Or you could block, if you know, say you had a guy that you could sacrifice to do something like Keening Apparition.
Sure.
You could block with it, or you could attack with it, stack combat damage, and then sacrifice it.
So it would still deal 2 damage even after you sacked it?
Yeah. So
what?
So say they blocked your Keening Apparition with the 2/2.
Yeah.
You could say, okay, go to combat damage. Yeah. Combat damage goes on the stack. And then before it resolves, you could sack it.
Weird.
What?
Yeah.
That's.
And so that was obviously a major rule change. And because of that change, a lot of cards with sack effects got worse.
Uh-huh.
Because you couldn't use them. You had to choose if you're going to deal the damage or sack them, basically.
Yeah.
And then one of the other big changes was Mana Burn. They got rid of Mana Burn.
That was in M10 when that happened?
Yeah. So Mana Burn.
Say more, good sir.
Megan, you seem confused.
What?
The sun was out yesterday and now my skin's all red. Did I get Mana Burn?
No!
So Megan, you probably know that if you tap something for mana, you can't keep, that mana goes away at the end of whatever the current step is.
Yes.
But did you know that what used to happen was you would take 1 damage per mana that was unspent?
Each main phase?
Each step.
That's insane. So if I didn't tap my mana for something, that mana would deal me a damage?
No.
Okay.
Okay, what?
You could, if you didn't tap a land,
uh-huh,
then that mana would never be in your mana pool, and you wouldn't take any damage.
Oh, but if I tapped it and
say you tapped a land,
uh-huh,
or, you know, for some reason, like, you had a Crypt Ghast or something,
uh-huh,
and it gave you an extra mana, and you didn't have a way to spend that mana,
uh-huh,
then you would have to take a point of damage from that mana.
That is ridiculous.
What were they thinking?
What were they... I have a bone to pick about that.
I have a bone in the past.
Well, the reason... So, that was a long-standing rule, but the thing about that rule was, you know, it hardly ever comes up, right? How often do you have
How often are you going to tap a mountain and not use it?
Right.
How often are you going to have a Crypt Ghast?
Yeah.
Not that often.
But once in a while. So that made some cards a little bit better because there were some cards that would like use that as a drawback almost. Like, you know, say you have a creature that when it dies, it adds mana to your mana pool. Mm-hmm. That could kind of be a drawback because usually when your creature dies, you're not in a position to spend that mana. Gotcha. So that was a big rule change. They also introduced the keywords Death Touch and Life Link.
Ooh.
Those keywords used to be they were abilities that were non-standard.
This is relevant to a card we talked about.
This is relevant because we have to issue a correction.
We do.
Sorry,
Armadillo
guys.
Cloak.
Sorry, guys.
We're sorry about the misinformation, which several people caught it. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to point out that you guys lied to me. You told me that Armadillo Cloak and Unflinching Courage were the same card.
Uh-huh.
And I was actually completely aware of the difference between Lifelink and when this creature deals damage, you gain this much life.
And I would
have been more than happy to explain the difference to you.
Ben,
if only
like,
you
wait.
Hadn't savagely lied to me.
I believe it cannot be a lie if you were simply unaware that these two things would be different.
Well,
Ben would like to be very clear with all of our audience that he knows the difference, and it is Maria and I who have made massive mistakes.
It's true.
We wouldn't have a show otherwise, Megan.
Games that you've lost in the past, you know, in the past week, because you didn't know the difference between lifelink and life gain that goes on the stack when damage is dealt, can be attributed to Maria and Megan, and you can
you can
submit a reimbursement request.
You can submit to us. Wait, I said that wrong. Okay, so Armadillo Cloak says, whenever enchanted creature deals damage, you gain that much life. And Maria, you know, amateur that I am, thought, oh, that's the same thing as Lifelink.
Lifelink.
Yeah.
But that just didn't have a name.
So this brings up an interesting point, because a lot of times in Magic, when they'll turn very common abilities into keyworded abilities.
Right.
Right? So keyworded ability is something like First Strike, Trample. Those abilities have been around since the beginning of Magic, but stuff like Death Touch and Lifelink, as we just talked about, those were newer additions. And then other stuff, I'm trying to think of another example. Stuff like Intimidate, that was a keyword that they introduced. I think they introduced that around M10 as well. It used to be, well, they used to have, I guess, Fear, which was only for black creatures.
Oh my god. Are you serious?
Yeah, have you guys never seen Fear on a card? So Fear, so fear as an ability means this creature can only be blocked by black or black or artifact creatures.
Then was there a white mechanic called Privilege?
No, no, there wasn't. Okay. That would be... And actually, Fear...
Of course, once they got rid of Fear, they had to introduce the mechanic Affirmative Action to make up for
it. And Fear was not actually originally a keyword. That was just an ability that was on a few creatures. Okay. And then eventually they turned that into a keyword as well. And so something like that, when they introduced Fear, they went back and said, okay, well, all these creatures that had this ability now have Fear.
Sure.
But... Yeah. With Lifelink and Death Touch, they didn't do that. There were a lot of like cards that had similar abilities, but not all of them were the same. Some were slightly different, and for whatever reason, they decided they didn't want to change the functionality of the existing cards, so they just added it to new cards instead of changing the old ones.
So how does it work differently?
Well, the main difference is that Lifelink is kind of is a replacement effect, whereas gains life, you know, the Armadillo Cloak ability, which, I don't know, what's the actual...
When this creature deals damage, you gain that much life.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the way that's phrased, because it says whenever, and then there's like a comma, that's a triggered ability. And that means when the condition happens, that effect will go on the stack. And then the next time someone gets priority, the next time, you know, that goes on the stack, the next time someone has priority, that will resolve, assuming both players pass priority.
Yeah.
So the main differences are both players get a chance to respond to this, whereas with Lifelink, it's just a replacement effect. It basically says, if this creature would deal damage, instead it deals damage and you gain that much life.
Okay.
Which means that happens instantaneously without a chance for anyone to respond. Okay, so what's the practical difference? Practically, the difference only came up usually when one player is about to die.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I think I remember one of these. Can I?
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
So I think I remember someone writing in about this example. Say that you're at one life.
Happens all the time, you guys.
I'm sure it does.
I live on the edge. I never give you credit for combat tricks.
And you have...
Or haste creatures.
We'll say that you have a 2-2...
Or direct damage.
Oh my god.
Shut up.
You have a 2-2 fat green frog
with armadillo a lot
cloak.
Armadillo cloak?
I'm from Texas. We have those. Anyways, you have a 2-2 fat green frog with armadillo cloak. And I'm attacking you.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Let's say I attack you with this 2-2 bear of my own, and you block with your 2-2.
My 2-2 lifelink frog?
With your 2-2 fat green frog with armadillo cloak.
Oh, so he's a 4-4?
So he's a 4-4.
Okay.
Okay, so I attack with this bear, and you block with this frog.
Mm-hmm.
Combat damage is dealt. Wait.
You need to attack
up.
With more than one bear.
I know I do. Shut up, Ben. Shut up real hard. Okay. I'm going to nail this.
Yeah.
Okay. I attack with... You only have your fat green frog
You're
with armadillo
You're doing so
cloak.
Great. You're nailing
Shut
this.
Shut up. You only have that fat green frog. I have two
You guys, while you're arguing, I made the sweetest armadillo clock card ever for Create a Card. Stay tuned.
Yes. Okay. So I attack you with two bears.
Yeah. You get in there with those bears.
I get in there with those bears. You're and at I'm, one life.
But I've been hit by a brick and I forgot how armadillo clock works.
That's right. So you block one of my bears with your fat green frock.
Yeah, and I'm like,
and so my all of the damage, we'll say, so we go to damage, right?
Right. All the damage happens simultaneously.
All of it happens simultaneously.
My armadillo frog. Yes. He knows what time it is, but he does not have first strike.
He does not. And because it is not lifelink, because it is this other thing.
Right.
That goes on the stack
right.
after damage. Suck.
It goes on the stack as soon as damage is dealt.
Okay.
But
the damage has already been dealt.
Right.
And my unblocked bear killed you.
Right. So I'll go to -1.
Yes.
And then the next time there's priority, I'll lose the game. And so I'll actually lose the game with that trigger on the stack.
That's so sad, right?
Sad. That's so sad.
Right.
Yeah, I'm glad they changed that because...
Right. So, but if I had Unflinching Courage on that creature instead of Armadillo Cloak...
It would have happened simultaneously.
Right. So I would lose 2 life and gain 4 life simultaneously.
Yes.
So at no point...
Keeping you okay.
At no point would I be at negative life.
Nice.
Yikes.
And then next turn, I'll swing for the win.
Nice.
Sure.
So lifelink, because of this, lifelink is actually a lot better
than this,
you know, light stack bullshit life game. One of the other differences is, you know, say you had 2 armadillo cloaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would get 2 triggers.
Yeah.
Whereas lifelink is just a static ability, like first strike. It doesn't matter how many times your creature has first strike or double strike or whatever.
Yeah. So like if your fat green frog had 2 armadillo cloaks on it, it would get you double the life.
Yes.
Yes. But if it had 2 unflinching courages,
I would only get
lifelink once.
I would only get into 6 life, whereas otherwise I would get 2 triggers for 6. If it had 1 armadillo cloak and 1 unflinching courage, then I would.
It's a weird deck, is what it is.
I would gain 6 from lifelink and also get the trigger for armadillo cloak.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like I want to call it Armadillo Cloak anyway because that's just way better name than Unflinching Courage.
Think so? It is.
Oh, yeah.
An Armadillo Cloak, consequently, would be made of leprosy.
We discussed this.
Okay.
Anybody who was interested...
Make sure that you know, don't touch a fucking armadillo!
What's the mispronunciation...
We have them in Texas!
What's the mispronunciation version of Unflinching Courage?
Inflinching... Courage.
No, Unflinching Cougar.
Yeah, I was thinking Unflinching Cougar.
Oh, I thought you meant literally mispronounce it.
No, I mean the analogous armadillo clock.
Got it.
Well, you guys are having that conversation. I'm making a baller Unflinching Cougar.
Nice.
Create a card.
Nice work.
All this comes about changes because we've got some new changes coming down the pike at us. And I was surprised that these happened. You know, all of a sudden one day I'm like, what? Rules change. I thought magic was always magic.
Yeah.
And
it has been, I mean, it's been 3 years more than, I guess it would be 4 years because these rule changes will take effect when M14 comes out.
Sure. Okay. Well, the biggest one is the legendary creature rules change.
Yeah.
We did an episode about legendary creatures, if you're interested.
Yeah, and now you guys are going to have to throw all of that knowledge away and start over fresh.
Oh, snap. We did that episode.
We did that episode, and we talked about it in one of our very first episodes. We talked about the fact that the current rule, which is there can only be one type of legendary creature out on the battlefield at any given time.
Well, that's still true. The thing was that if a second one was played of the same name, they both get kicked them.
Bye-bye.
They both get kicked out of there.
Only one god in this universe.
Let's just go ahead and read the actual legendary rule. All right.
Okay. The new one or the old one?
The old one. The current
one. The current
Okay. The legend rule is as follows. This is, if you're following along at home, this is rule 205.4C. Any permanent with the super type legendary is subject to the state-based effect for legendary permanence.
Legendary permanence.
Also called the legend rule.
Legend rule.
Sunday, air quotes.
Sunday.
See rule 420.5E.
Come on down to Mega Trash. We will get your legendary creatures trashed. Watch them fight. Watch them bite. Watch them rip your mom's face off down at the big arena.
Yep, okay.
Rule 420.5E states, if two or more legendary permanents with the same name are in play, also known as the battlefield, this rule I'm reading must be really out of date, you guys. All are put into the owner's graveyards. This is called the legend rule.
Legend rule.
Legend rule.
Kids are welcome, but not wanted. Yep.
This is called the legend rule. If only one of those permanents is legendary, this rule doesn't apply. That's weird. I don't know how that would happen.
So say that you somehow had a legendary creature, Jace, and then you had just a normal dude, Jace.
That's him on, like, Sunday morning.
Exactly. Okay, guys. Well, he's wearing, like, pajama pants and drinking some coffee.
I think you guys are mixing your bathtub gin in my communion wine here because...
Oh, my God.
Because the legendary rule is not the same as the planeswalker rule.
Oh, okay. Well, right, yeah. Okay. But I was just making that an example of there being a legendary... With the
a legendary creature named Jace. Yeah, that's not confusing. Yes, exactly. That's not confusing at all.
Shut up, Ben. Shut up.
But if you had a card
Ben,
that said...
shut up.
No, this wouldn't work. The ones that say this card is any kind of card types at all times or shapeshifter or whatever.
Usually,
but
I mean...
they usually, like Lazav, says that he still keeps his name and his creature type and his ability.
Right. Most cards will either gain all properties of the card, in which case they would gain the name... and the legendary super type.
Okay.
Or they only gain some properties, which means they wouldn't get the name or the legendary
super type. I was just thinking,
type.
Well, how would that happen? You know, I don't know.
There might be a way. I mean, I don't know. We'll do some research. Listeners, if you can think of a way that I could have two permanents with the same names, but only one of them would have a legendary super type, call 999-465-4248. And then afterwards, email us. MagicTheAmateuring@gmail.com.
But when you call that number, make sure it's a real good prank call.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Some charges may apply.
Wherever that 999
I don't think dialing 999 will ever
if
do
you're
anything.
If you're in Britain, it's 911.
Really?
Yeah, so okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, all UK users, don't dial 999.
It's too late, you guys. We've already been blacklisted by Big Brother.
Oh, no. They've got so many cameras all over Britain, right, guys? Am I right, listeners in Britain? They're watching everywhere.
Okay, do you want to read the Planeswalker rules now?
Yeah, read us the Planeswalker rules, Ben.
All right. This one is dated May 2013, so hopefully it's up to date. Planeswalkers. Oh, my God, there's so many rules.
Just play the one that we care about.
Uniqueness. Yes. This is called the Planeswalker Uniqueness Rule.
Uniqueness Rule.
Uniqueness Rule.
So if two or more Planeswalkers that share a Planeswalker type are on the battlefield, the Planeswalker type is the subtype of the Planeswalker. So
like badass.
It'll say Planeswalker-Jace or Planeswalker-Chandra.
Big boobs.
What?
She does.
Oh. They're not that big. Are they that big?
Well, they're covered in metal.
They're not very prominent. They're like steel. They're like steel toe boobs.
She must work a lot of construction.
Yeah, she does.
Where a lot of 2x4s have
you
the possibility.
Exactly. You don't want to get those stepped on, man. Don't get those stepped on.
I think Liliana.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
Oh,
is the more endowed of the female.
She's also. She wears like that low cut.
I don't know how that thing's staying up.
I don't know either. Where are the straps?
It
on
must
that?
Be magic.
You know what?
Oh my
they
God.
Need more lady artists, because lady artist is not going to draw a shirt that is literally never going to stay up.
No.
She's popping out of that in two steps.
Although, well, Maria, I just have to say that some of us don't have the problem when we pop out of shirts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some of us are a little sensitive about it, Maria.
Sorry, Ben. Sorry, Ben.
To be fair, Liliana did literally make a deal with a demon.
Oh.
She bargained her soul for eternal youth.
Oh, I was going to say, she bargained her soul for some strapless shirts that won't fall down?
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of, let's be honest, part of eternal youth
is strapless shirts that won't fall down.
You think that comes in the deal?
Boobs that stay perky is what he's getting at.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, your boobs can be perky as all get out. That doesn't mean your tube top's going to stay up.
But it has a better chance.
Yeah.
Maybe Liliana.
I mean, if you make enough deals.
Do you think she got elastic out of this deal?
I mean, why not?
Okay, so the Planeswalker uniqueness rule is rule 704. If two or more Planeswalkers that share a Planeswalker type are on the battlefield, all are put into their owner's graveyards. This is called the Planeswalker uniqueness rule.
You guys, this is where I'm really sad that this is not a video podcast, because Ben just did some top grade gesticulating while he was saying that, and Megan and I both bit his arms. This candle is really doing its trick.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, I think I'm changing into a lycanthrope. Which one of you is a lycanthrope?
What's a lycanthrope?
Oh my god. You guys don't know what a lycanthrope is?
It sounds like
What's
a play.
What's a lycanthrope?
It sounds like a 18th century farce. The misanthrope, that's an 18th. Yeah,
there you go.
Okay, guys, I'm going to read what lycanthropy is.
Okay.
And I want you guys to stop me once you know what it is. The listeners already know what lycanthropy is.
Is it like when a lichen decides guaranteed. To get a colonoscopy?
Lycanthropy is the professed ability or power of a human being to transform...
Stop. Into a werewolf.
Into a wolf. Or to gain wolf-like characteristics.
Lycanthropy. Werewolf.
The term comes from Greek, lycanthropus, or werewolf, a compound of wolf and human.
Lupus. Lupus.
The word lycanthropy is sometimes used generically for any transformation of a human into animal form.
Like
the more
animorphs.
Precise term for this is therianthropy.
Oh my god.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's
werewolf.
It's werewolfism.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
I don't know why we had that.
It's transmitted by bite.
Oh, that's right.
And you guys bit me.
Yeah. Got it. Well, which one of us do you think is the werewolf?
Megan.
That's fair.
What supernatural being am I, Ben?
You are a lich.
What do I get for that?
What's a lich?
Lich is like a frozen undead.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Wizard.
What do you mean, oh, yep?
I just meant like, oh, yeah, okay, that's what a lich is. I didn't agree that you were one.
I know there's some cards that are have lich on them.
Sure.
And they're pretty nasty.
Mm. Yeah, but, I mean, you get to live forever. You want to see a picture of a lich?
Whoa, that's just a skull.
He's like a skeleton. They're super powerful, though.
Look at you.
Okay, sure.
Look at you. Or I was going to say, you're like an acorn.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Anyway, the whole point of this fucking
topic. You could wear a cap.
Was that we were going to talk about the new legendary creatures rule.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah. And similarly, the new Planeswalker uniqueness rule.
Okay, what are the new rules?
Okay. So I think I can say one part of it that I remember. The way it works is that say I had in my hand or in my deck, I have two Vraska the Unseen. Is that her tag?
Okay.
I have two Vraska the Unseen from RTR. And I have one on the battlefield. There we go. I have one on the battlefield and I play out my other Vraska. Mm. Instead of both of them immediately going to my graveyard, I get to pick which one goes to my graveyard and which one stays on the battlefield.
Yes, that is true.
Question.
I don't remember what it is if your opponent has one and
you can each have one.
That's what it is.
Right, so there are two changes to each uniqueness rule.
Yeah.
For a total of four changes.
Changes.
Go for it.
The first one is that instead of canceling each other out, that you get to pick one, and only and that one stays, and all others are put into the graveyard. So if you somehow get like seven of them out at the same time, you get to pick one to keep.
That is a sweet draft.
Wow. All six of the other ones.
That's a lot of mana.
Go to the graveyard. It's kind of like if you are having septuplets.
And you only pick one?
Well, you only, say you, there's only like one, you only have one soul to go between the seven children.
That's whatever, what it does happen.
For whatever reason. Yeah.
I've had that problem several times.
Right. So, I mean, you gotta pick one.
Yeah.
I understand.
You don't want to split that seven ways.
No.
No.
You'll end up in a Voldemort situation.
Yep. Exactly what I was thinking. That's why twins always only have half a soul each.
The other difference is that the uniqueness, the Planeswalker uniqueness rule and the Legendary uniqueness rule only apply to each player's battlefield.
Stop.
Oh, all right.
Keep going.
Okay, so when I play a Planeswalker, the game state is only going to check the other Planeswalkers on my battlefield for the same Planeswalker type.
Okay.
Or for the same, if it's a legend, for a legendary creature with the same
Which
name.
Is why you and your opponent can each have one.
Right.
Because it's not checking the whole thing.
Right.
It's checking your battlefield.
Or say we're in a two at a giant game, we can each have our own Vraska.
Cool.
Aw, snap.
Let's do it.
This, like, you know, reminds me of watching some tournament play and seeing people play out Geist of St. Traft, and another deck deliberately just play one just to get rid of the other
just
one.
Just to nuke it. Or back, you know, we've talked about the legend, Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Yes. Yep.
A lot of decks back in that day would play Baby Jace, the 3-mana Jace Bellerin.
Yeah.
Just as a way to kill Jace the Mind Sculptor.
That's funny, being killed by your baby self.
Baby Jace.
Yeah. It's baby like a Jace time. It's here. I mean, if you've ever seen Time Cop.
Okay. Or it's like Looper. It's like Looper, but backwards.
I've never seen Looper.
It's like
but everyone talked about it enough. We all get the gist, right?
I did turn off, actually. I've only seen Time Cop up to the point where the guy goes back in time and like touches his past self, and then they both die.
What?
Because that, I was really outraged. You were done. That's not how it would actually work.
Imagine your little baby self coming at you with a machete.
Oh yeah.
That's what it would be like.
Speaking of time,
I think
do
I
you guys
take...
remember Time Bandits?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't they making that?
What? No.
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 I'm looking up the Time Bandits uniqueness rule.
There can only be one copy of Time Bandits.
And I'm downloading the Barenaked Ladies' new album.
The Time Bandits remake is coming soon, according to this article from 2011.
Okay.
Okay, come on now.
Development
go to,
help.
Go to IMDb and IMDb it.
Anyway, let's close this topic. All right. Do we understand, everybody?
We understand.
Yeah, what Maria? Other rule changes are there?
There is also the rule change, which I'm not going to phrase this correctly.
I'm looking forward to you phrasing it incorrectly.
Incorrectly.
One of my favorite things is to correct. You're gonna make my
You
should
have been a chiropractor.
Yes. It makes indestructible into a keyword.
Indestructible is now a keyword.
I said it right!
Yay!
Let's celebrate that!
Hooray! So what's the practical effect of that?
That means that if I use something like turn burn, when I turn it, that card loses being indestructible.
That's
and
true.
I can then burn it.
Right.
The other thing being that when, say I play something like a Boros Charm to make all of my creatures indestructible, and then I play another creature after Boros Charm,
right,
the new creature on the battlefield is not indestructible.
Right, because instead of you getting the ability, my creatures are indestructible, all of your creatures
get
gain
the keyword,
the ability,
this
indestructible.
Creature is indestructible.
Changes.
It was really confusing the way that rule used to work.
Yeah.
And really, that's all the rules changes that they're making both now and back in the days of M10.
Your.
Were really to simplify the game and make it easier for new people to learn. Yeah. And just like, you know, even with the lifelink stuff, just like reduce the unexpectedness. Because when you think one thing is going to happen and something else happens and it's for a really confusing reason.
You don't want
to. It's just like the first time you get pregnant, you're like...
How did this happen?
Right,
that's not a fun experience. That's why they redesigned pregnancy.
I sat on this turkey baster, but I wasn't expecting this.
Question. What? I don't know. What about the card? I was wondering this today. What about the card Rootborn Defenses, which allows you to populate and makes all of your creatures indestructible?
Well, let's read the card. All right.
Say I populate... I play out Rootborn Defenses and make my gaggle of centaurs.
Your gaggle?
Gaggle.
Okay, it's probably a herd. Shut up.
I like gaggle.
But that's for geese.
A murder of centaurs.
I really like murder of centaurs. Okay, clouder. Let's say I make my murder of centaurs indestructible, and I also use the populate to make another centaur. Is that poor buddy indestructible?
Well... What does Rootborn Defenses say?
Rootborn Defenses says, like, cover it, you jerk pants. Creatures you control are indestructible this turn. Populate.
Wrong. Populate. Oh! Creatures you control this turn are indestructible.
So you get to populate that centaur, and then he's indestructible.
Right, and so... and I believe with this rule change, this card will be errated so that instead of saying this, it will say populate creatures you control gain indestructible.
Gotcha.
Probably with a capital I.
Indestructible.
You guys see the difference?
Yeah.
Yes.
Confusing. What do you call a group of humans? A crowd? So and a group of horses is a herd.
Yes.
Yep.
So a group of centaurs would be a crerd.
A proud.
A howl round.
Proud.
Proud.
Proud. Proud. Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
What if you had a group that was half horses and half humans? But not half horse, half human.
Oh!
That would be a herd.
That would be like a normal day on the farm.
That would be a crowded herd.
Sure, or a cavalry.
Or like the Kentucky Derby.
That would be the Kentucky Derby.
I think the Kentucky Derby is at least like 80% horse.
Wait.
By mass.
No.
By mass.
By mass. But if we're talking about all of Churchill Downs, it's like 98%
horse. But what about before the crowds get there?
Okay,
when
then
they're
it's
just
mostly
like
horse.
Tending the horses and the numerous backup horses.
Okay, then it's mostly horses, but once the crowd comes in, then it's
mostly people.
What if I released a gas that only killed humans?
Then we'd call you a terrorist?
What if I released a gas that only killed horses? Then
horses would call you
a
terrorist.
Then
I'm a
carnivore.
Okay.
Card of the week. My card of the week is Gatekeepers.
What?
All of them?
That's five of cards them. Of the week.
Well, okay. I don't want
to
pick
one. You have to take a month off now.
Shut up. I don't want to pick one specifically because I feel like they all
They're
fit
all
in.
Great except the red one.
Yeah. And you know what? He's got his purposes. He's the confused card.
He's pretty confused.
Okay, so let's see. We have the black ones, which give a creature -2/-2. Mm. Green ones, gain 7 life.
Mm.
Blue, draw a card.
Do you know what? Bonus points if we can name them.
Well, that Ubal-Sar.
Ubal-Sar. Cerulean.
Opal Lake.
Opal Lake is blue. Draw a card. White.
This
is the one I don't know. Gives you a 2/2 knight.
Yep.
What is
what
he?
Is
I say
he
like
name?
Sentinel or...
No, he's thinking of Maze Sentinel.
Oh, yeah. And the red one...
Red one is Smelt Ward.
Smelt Ward.
Gain control of target creature.
Yeah.
Essentially traitorous instinct.
And why did you pick these cards?
Because when we were playing Sealed this past weekend,
yes.
I actually opened a couple. I opened nine.
It was insane.
It was insane. I had nine either Shocklands or Dual Lands. I had two Shocklands and seven Gates.
What?
Bennett was bonkers.
Everybody was like, if you don't play five colors, we're killing you.
Didn't play white because none of my Gates were white.
Okay. This was white. Two RTR, two Gate Crash, two Dragon's Maze?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got...
I went four colors, and I never had mana trouble.
How did that work? Did you have, like one gate in each... So you had one gate in each Dragon Maze pack.
And then I had Shocklands in two. I had Foil Gates in two.
In the Dragon's Maze pack or in the RTR? Or the Gate Crash?
I feel like one of them came in Gate Crash and one of them came in RTR. Because I had a Foil Izzet and a Foil Gruul.
Wow.
It was insane.
That's quite a bit.
Yeah, and that was when I haven't ever really prioritized drafting gatekeepers, but when I got them in the sealed with all of these, I was like, heck yes, like I'm gonna play the Cerulean gatekeepers that I have.
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction. There are, the differences between sealed and draft seem really subtle, but here is where they come up. When you have a pool and you can say, oh, these, like, I can just play these cards. You don't have to choose between one or the other. When you're drafting, I found usually you end up either with gates or gatekeepers.
Yeah.
But not both.
Can't pick both, man.
Yeah.
So it was really cool and crazy to end up with that many gates.
Yeah, that sounds sweet.
It was awesome.
And so,
everyone was soups jealous.
It was pretty sweet.
It probably harkened back to the pre-release sealed format where everyone had like six gates.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah.
And we had our guild booster. Oh, man.
Woo.
Those are the days.
Quick, so Maria, card of the week.
My card of the week is Beetleform Mage. Everybody loves Beetleform Mage.
Everyone loves Beetleform Mage.
It's a good card.
Yep,
good
and card. Ben Stark, the guy that everybody looks to for drafting advice.
Yeah, my older brother.
Because you're both named Ben.
That's how names work.
Okay. said, if you get past one of these in draft, you should probably take it.
Mm.
Yeah. And I have so far heeded that advice and always taken one when it's come to me.
Mm.
And I have, every draft I've played so far, maybe the past three, I have been in Simic colors, and I've had at least two.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. They're straight up awesome.
Such a good card.
And I played a draft online. I had three the other day.
Oh,
so I'm in the camp of if you get past these, you know, take them. And there's one little issue that I have is that I'm confused as to if I have other three drops, like say Windrake or something, if I should play that or if I should play my Beetleform Mage and then pump it, or if I should play out more dudes. So do you save mana to pump, or do you play more dudes? What do you think, Ben?
Well, what are the advantages? Okay, so say you have a Windrake and a Beetleform Mage. It's turn three. The board is vacant. What is the advantage of playing the Windrake?
The advantage is I can play something else the next turn without having to worry about putting out pumping my mana for using Beetleform.
What is the advantage of playing the Beetleform Mage?
Getting in more damage.
Okay. So let's say your options are either turn three Windrake, turn four Beetleform Mage, or turn three Beetleform Mage, turn four Windrake.
Yeah.
Let's say those are the two options.
Okay.
And then I guess option three would be Beetleform Mage pump.
Yes.
All right. So let's say this is the only thing that's going on. Your opponent's not doing anything else. On turn five, what is your opponent's life total? In option one, you went Windrake, Beetleform Mage.
That would be...
In turn
16?
Five, his life total is 14.
So, right, because you played Windrake turn three.
Yeah.
Turn four, you attack with Windrake, he goes to 18.
Yeah.
Turn five, you attack with both. And you can pump now.
And then I pumped. Okay, yes, 14 then.
Right, so he takes another six. Wait, no, so then he takes six and he goes to 12.
That's right.
All right, so that would be 12 life, option one. Option two, you play Beetleform Mage first, and then Windrake.
Yep.
So you play Beetleform Mage, turn four you attack.
For two.
He goes 18. Then you play Windrake.
Yep.
Turn five, you tag with both, and you pump.
He still goes to 12.
He still goes to 12. Now let's say you do option three. You play Beetle Form Mage, and then you pump him. What does that do?
So on turn four, you attack for four.
Yeah.
And on turn five, you attack for four more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which puts us at also 12.
Okay. So, but in option three, so he's at 12 life in
but
all
I,
three cases.
But I only have one guy out as
right.
opposed to two.
Right. So that's obviously
worse. So that, wait,
worse.
So going, yeah. Oh, all right.
Look at that.
And I think if you extrapolate
mm-hmm.
to turn six,
mm-hmm.
Let's see, you, in the first scenario, he would go to six life.
Mm-hmm.
In the second scenario,
yeah.
he would still go to six life.
Yeah.
And in the third scenario, he would only go to eight.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
Oh, well
yeah.
then that's pretty good to know.
Yes, and I'll say in general, I'm always going to play the Windrake first.
Yeah.
If I don't have anything to use the mana on,
might as
I'm going to play Windrake. Because you're so much more likely to be able to attack freely with that Windrake. Now, in the case of Beetleform Mage, they're usually not going to block it because you've got Threat of Activation. But, I mean, you know, say they have removal, you'd rather they use it on the Windrake, probably.
Yeah.
And if you know that you have another play that turn, like, that's almost always better than using the activation.
Okay.
Because it's like you're making an investment in the future, you're putting out another creature that can attack for more. And so, because of that, if I have a bunch of plays, I'll just save the creature with pump for last. If all other things are being... Are
you're investing in your future.
Right. It's
like
when
with
you,
a Roth IRA.
Yeah, or a college.
Yeah. Or
you know how you can buy a college
home.
And then you get
and
a lot of money.
And then later on you get a lot of money
because
from that
of all
college.
The students that go to that college.
Yeah, obviously.
I've done that.
So, Ben, do you have a card of the week?
My card of the week is Shock.
Classic.
It costs one red mana. It's an instant. And it says Shock deals 2 damage to target creature player.
Did you pick that one because it was right in front of you?
I picked it because this is a classic card. It is like kind of the baseline.
Yep.
It kind of tells you what one card in one red mana is worth. And there's tons of references to this. Like, everyone talks about
the
Shock lands.
Yeah.
That's because the shock lands do 2 damage to you.
Oh, snap. That answers the question.
I had no idea.
Me neither.
Knowledge dropped.
Like a carton of eggs.
No, like a bomb.
Oh.
On
you know,
battlefield.
People will also call any 2 damage a shock, so.
Yep, that's why.
There you have it.
No way. Look at that.
This card was also, this is an example of, this card is like basically strictly worse than Lightning Bolt. Because Lightning Bolt does 3 damage for 1 mana.
Ooh.
But that, like, that... I think after a while they realized that was too powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least, usually, it's more powerful than they usually want in a set. And so, now they give us cards that are more like Shock. And, like, I mean, now we'll gladly pay, in a limited environment at least, we'll gladly pay 3 mana for Annihilating Fire. Which is basically just a lightning bolt, but
yeah.
Mana. I saw, I think, a card that's maybe being reprinted for either Modern Masters or M14.
Yeah.
That was totally lost.
Armadillo Shock.
But it was only like...
Wait, what?
It was basically totally lost, which is to put a card target permanent on top of its owner's library.
Yeah.
Which cost, what, 6 or 5?
Totally lost costs 5.
Okay, 5.
I don't know what card you're talking about.
The card I'm talking about only cost like 3, and it was the exact same thing.
Oh, Time Ebb.
Okay, yes, that.
There's a difference. Time Ebb is a sorcery.
Okay.
As opposed to an instant.
As opposed to an instant, so that's why it's a little bit cheaper. But yeah, you know, when they first made Time Ebb, people were kind of like, this doesn't seem that great. But, it's actually really great.
And that's the way Ben sees it.
There was also, a card in Innistrad called Grasp of Phantasms.
Oh my god, right?
Grasp of Phantoms. And
Phantom Grasp is when you go for it and it's just not there.
Guys, the art on this card.
Yep.
The art on this card is insane. Like, look at this art.
That's
oh, that's really cool.
It's creepy as shit.
You guys look it up. That art is pretty neat.
It's a lot of arms grabbing guy.
Reminds me
of getting grasped.
Like, you know that scene in Jurassic Park when the arm comes out and just falls on the shoulder? I'm alone here.
All right.
So Grasp of Phantom says it's 4 mana. It's a blue card. It's sorcery. Put target creature on top of its owner's library. Flashback. 8 mana.
Holy crap.
Wow, that's a lot of flashback.
It's a lot of mana, but here's the deal. If you've got some creatures out and you can grasp one of their guys and attack with those creatures,
not only do
you get to attack, but you know what card they're drawing next turn. And if it was, say this was the creature they just played, their next play, they probably can't play anything other than that same guy again. Like, if it was the best thing they could play last turn, it's probably the best thing again. And the fact that you can, like, do this, and then later on you have the chance to do it again, even if it is for a large amount of mana, like, that's pretty sweet.
That's pretty sweet, guys. Pretty sweet.
That can put you in a position where, like, you just know, like, oh, now I just win, no matter what. Which, that's a pretty saucy position to be in. I bet you're not. It's like when your opponent just, like, taps out. Like, you've got something on the board, you're going to kill them, and they tap out to play something that doesn't do anything. Like, doesn't change the fact that you're just going to kill them. And you're like, oh, thank you, Carlos. I appreciate that. Now I just get to win, and I don't have to wonder whether or not you're gonna counter my jizz, or bounce my jazz, or remove
my
spits.
Jizz. Counter my jizz.
Counter my jizz.
Everybody, he just said counter my jizz.
Counter my jizz.
All right. Changes. All right. Changes. Lessons learned.
Wait, I'm just gonna call counter my jizz the same thing as, like, dispel.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
All right.
But it's one white mana.
It's one white mana. You got it, girl.
Why? What makes you think that my jizz is instant?
And not a sorcery.
I mean, Ben needs a lot of grasping phantoms to get his jizz.
We're gonna talk about our changes in our bodies.
Mm.
So as we've reached the point.
Speaking of changes, it's midnight.
Ooh, Megan!
Wow.
Megan's gonna become a wolf.
She's a werepumpkin.
And I'm becoming an acorn. We've been playing now for about half a year. Oh my God! Say it that way.
Wow, half a year.
And
so you've now been playing for 1/30th the length of time I have.
Okay. Ben came out of the womb grasping a pack of shards of
Alara. It's a very recent set for me to come out of the womb with.
You're forward thinking.
Exactly.
And we're just going to take a moment to say how we've grown and changed as players. I hope you guys have all been on the journey with us as we have done 23 episodes now. And
or if you haven't, it's fine.
You know what? We're not mad
at
you.
But you've had your journey.
Yes, and you can go on our website, magicktheamateuring.com, and listen to all of our old
episodes. Let's write our magic height. Let's mark it on the
wall.
Aww,
cute. How do we figure our magic height?
You stack up all your magic cards.
Okay.
Yep, obviously.
All the packs we've won. How about?
Sure.
Okay. Megan, tell me how you're different.
You know
how
what?
Have you grown? What
from
measuring
the,
stick?
From the other magic players. From your
from
old
her
self.
Old self.
I would say, wow, that's a do it. That was a tough question.
Yeah, from 6 months ago when she had never played magic.
I mean, like, what do you think? Are you noticing in yourself as a player now?
I've definitely noticed. I've gotten much more flexible about playing different colors.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to win now. I will always love Celestia.
Yeah.
But now I can comfortably play. I think there are definitely some guilds that are much harder. But it's where it's like 6 months ago, would I have known what the heck to do with an Izzet deck?
Yeah.
No. Now, do you know what? I can make an Izzet deck. It's probably not going to be particularly good, but right. I can put it together.
But that's because it's an Izzet deck.
And I know.
Burn!
Oh, snap! Wait. And I know what it should look like to some extent. Mm. I feel like that's a big thing. That's happened.
Yeah, that's good.
There you go. Maria, how do you think you have changed?
Well, I was thinking about this question today because I knew we were going to talk about changes on the episode. And I was looking through some spoilers for M14 in Modern Masters.
Ooh.
And
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. I thought to myself, I'm feeling a lot better about my basic card evaluation skills.
Okay.
Yeah.
Than I did, you know, say even a few months ago. Like, I feel... You know, I would listen to, you know, another show or something talk about, oh, this is how good this card is or whatever. And I wouldn't have any real basis for why they thought that. I'd be like, okay, well, I'll agree with you because you said so.
Yeah.
But now I feel like I can make my own evaluations of a card by looking at it and saying, well, this should probably be pretty good because of, you know, X, Y, and Z and all the things we've talked about on the show.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, well, that I think is a big step in the right direction, you know?
For should sure.
Can we pull a random card out of this box? And
test
have you
me?
Evaluate it as Ooh, Maria snap. Now versus Maria 4 months ago?
Okay.
All right, here
all
we
right,
go.
All right, so revert to 4 months ago.
All right, blue, 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 blue.
Here we go. The card is Reef Pirates.
I love
it's
the name.
It's one colorless, two blue. Whenever Reef Pirates damages any opponent, take the top card of his or her library and put it into his or her graveyard. It is a 2/2.
What?
You want to read
it's
that?
Yeah. It's essentially a 2/2 that mills them for one when you deal them combat damage.
All right, got it. 2/2 for three.
Okay, remember, you're Maria from 4 months
okay.
ago.
Okay. Oh.
You don't have that. You don't have that tattoo.
Right.
And you've never been to jail.
I'm so innocent, you guys. I would probably be like, "That's pretty good."
There you go. Yep. I think you summed it up perfect. You nailed it. That's
yeah.
4 months
okay,
ago.
Okay, now do Maria of 2 months ago.
I'm skipping forward to today. Me looking at this today says, well, it's a 2/2, so it's a bear, but it has this extra
Wait,
ability.
How is that a bear?
Because it's just, okay,
no,
it's not. I'm just saying.
It's a 2/2 for three, so it's
okay,
not a bear.
So it's not.
It's a gray ogre.
It has two blue in the mana symbol, I'm noticing. Mm. Meaning is slightly more difficult to cast.
Yeah.
And its ability of milling one, to me, you know, I guess that's an added bonus, but to me it seems hardly relevant.
Yeah.
I
would say, yeah.
I don't know how many times is it going to mill, you have to damage the player, how many times is this literally going to get you any cards? Once?
Yeah.
Maybe twice?
Yeah.
Maybe not even once because you're playing, oops. That was loud. You're playing a 2/2 on turn three.
Right.
So
yeah, you know, I would just pass on this guy. But you know what? I wouldn't like entirely hate having him, I guess, you know.
Yeah. What would have to be true for this card to be good?
Man. Mill more than one.
It would
saying,
have to
well,
have some sort of
I'm
evasion.
Saying no. Say this.
Oh, say it's the
this
same.
This creature stays the same. What would have to be true about, say, the limited environment you're in order for this creature to be any good?
There would have to be a lot of synergy with making a mill deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you would have to really focus on it.
Yeah. Maybe if it had a relative creature type. By the way, the creature type says summon ships.
What?
Which has absolutely nothing to do with anything.
I'm pretty sure ships don't exist anymore. This card probably has a modified creature type and a rated creature type. The other thing I would say is, like, if the set is just terrible, like, maybe all the other creatures suck balls.
Yeah.
A 2/2 for three that's
like,
hard
you're
to
like,
cast.
Like, oh, I'll pay it, I guess.
Might actually be okay.
Yeah.
And I'll just point out that this card is from Homelands, which was a terrible set.
So
I'm guessing this
card
might be an all-star.
Fine.
This is also reprinted in 5th edition. And it is now a creature zombie pirate.
There you go.
Got it.
Not, it is no longer summon ships.
So Megan
creature
and I will continue on our journey of change.
And I'll stay the same.
Ben will remain.
Same old Ben you'd ever known.
And we'll keep on going. We'll check in another six for another
change. Yeah, for another change in checkup.
Oh, yeah. All right, moving on. Create a card.
Yeah.
We have some ones that we feel good about this week.
Yeah, we do.
So, Maria, do you want to start with Armadillo Clock?
Sure, we're going to invent Armadillo Clock. This is what it does. It gets a... I don't know if this is already a thing, but it...
I'm sure it is.
All right, shut up. It's going to get a time counter on it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Time counters are a thing.
So this is an... this is going to be a 2/2 for... Well, I don't know. It's probably going to cost a lot because it's kind of cool. The time counter. And the first upkeep, every upkeep, you get to put a time counter on it. And at any time, you may tap it and sacrifice it. And you'll deal however many time counters you have on it, that amount of damage to either the player or a creature.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
But it's also a creature, so you, like, added value.
So it's a 2/2. Although, honestly, how often are you going to attack with your sweet armadillo?
Probably not.
Armadillo?
But how often are you going to attack with your, you know, Vitsugachi Guildmage?
That's true. Vitsugachi. What color is this?
I feel like
blue.
I think he might be an artifact.
Red.
Okay.
Is he an artifact?
I could say he's an artifact.
Okay.
If he's a clock.
He's a clock. He's an artifact.
So he's an artifact creature, armadillo.
Armadillos are very colorless.
He's a 2/2.
Yeah.
I think this has to cost 4 at least.
Yeah.
The ability is too good for it to be a gray ogre.
That's real sweet.
Thanks. I made my first card that I'm actually like, that's kind of cool. And not just a piece of shit.
Nice. Well, I'll
You're
fill,
so different. You're, that's another change.
I'll fill in the piece of shit slot this
Okay,
week.
Okay.
Unflinching Cougar.
Oh my god.
This is also a 2/2.
This is my mom on Sunday nights.
And the Unflinching Cougar has one. Has what I'm going to call the facelift mechanic.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. And so for the facelift mechanic is where you pay 2.
Yep.
You pay 2
yeah,
and you
yeah.
put a facelift counter
right.
on Unflinching Cougar.
Uh-huh.
And say that... Well, actually, like, wait. I have to go back. This Unflinching Cougar is actually a 5/5.
Wow.
What?
But... If it doesn't have any facelift counters, it can only block or attack if your opponent has 5/5s as well.
You know what? A good cougar never blocks another
five
cougar.
5/5s plural?
A 5/5.
Oh.
My bad. A 5/5. But for each facelift mechanic, you can attack or block if they have a creature of one lesser. So let me explain. With one facelift mechanic,
uh-huh.
or with one facelift counter
yeah.
on your Unflinching Cougar,
yeah.
it can attack or block if your opponent controls a 4/4. With 2 facelift counters,
yeah.
the Unflinching Cougar
Got
can
it.
Attack or block if your opponent has a 3/3.
This sounds fucking complicated.
It is.
Well, it you know, when you date a
it's
cougar.
About, it's a.
Yeah, I suppose.
You're opening up a whole...
I
Look,
thought
ben,
the reason to date
the
to date a cougar was the simplicity.
No commitments.
They don't play games.
No, that's true.
They play more games
exactly.
than you know.
The more facelifts, the younger creatures you can pounce on.
Oh, God.
I love it.
I think at a certain point, though, that effect starts to reverse itself.
And you go to prison.
What if
your creature goes
what if the
to
facelift
jail?
Counters were like -1/-1 counters? Because like I feel like every time you get a facelift, you are putting a -1/-1 counter on your soul.
Yeah, you kind of are.
That's true. But
yeah.
why would you put a -1/-1 counter on your own creature?
To look good.
Okay.
We're gonna leave it as is. What color is the Unflinching Cougar? I was kind of feeling red.
Feels like a black card to me.
Oh, there we
yeah,
go.
For
yep,
sure.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And it costs, we're going to say it costs 4.
Okay.
It costs 4 because you can't, do you know what? Unless your opponent controls 5/5, you
yeah,
won't be able
sure.
to do much with it.
Yeah.
So it costs 3 colorless and
wow.
1
yeah.
black.
The Unflinching Cougar strikes again.
Yep. And the facelift mechanic costs 1 colorless, 1 black.
Well, everybody.
Okay. There we go.
That's our show.
That is, I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted.
This is the latest we have ever recorded, dear
this
listener.
Is real late.
We do this
when
for
not
you.
In Nels's basement.
No.
That's true.
Yeah, good point.
That's true.
And we did this all by candlelight. So I hope you've changed as we have changed to this episode. If you have changed, shoot us an email at magicktheamateuring@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter. We have more than 150 followers. Let's get to 200, everybody.
Mm.
Let's do it.
Or
MTAcast.
Yeah. Or check us out on Magic Online.
Yeah.
My name is Middle Schooler.
My name is Horny_Unicorny.
And Megan's name is Send Me an Old Windows Laptop.
Please.
Anyone interested in donating a laptop to Megan to further her addiction, shoot us an email.
Yep.
Just needs to run Windows
note,
XP
yes.
or newer and support the .NET framework version 4.
All right. Also, my bike got stolen today. So
yeah, you guys.
If you want to send me a bike, party on.
Tweet at MTAcast.
Or even just a part of a bike.
She'll any take part anything. Of a bike. I will assemble parts of a bike.
A handle.
A wheel.
A tassel.
Yep.
A
cog.
Horn.
A sprocket.
A derailleur.
A little dog to go in the basket.
A gear shift.
A gear link.
Yep.
Gear chain link.
A Lance chain. Armstrong.
Reflector.
I'll take one of those. Spokes.
Rims. A piece of a tire.
Yep. I would prefer the whole tire, but I won't be picky. The tread or the tube.
A pump nozzle.
Join us next week.
I think you're making
when
up
we
worse.
Stop explaining bike parts.
Ben, let's be
do
clear.
Do you think
ben
I made
ben
a pump or nozzle?
Making up bike parts.
Dude, if I'm the inventor of the nozzle, I'll take it.
You've been a great audience.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
We'll miss you.
We'll
next
see
week.
You again next week, unless you hate us.